But I think they all click shut to us.
Why? I mean, if you're too shy to ask, you know, then send your questions in beforehand.
Yeah, I got one question, Johnny.
Okay, yeah.
So, Tan and John, I've been reading Ajahn Sukhachak's biography, and I think I was reminded about how strict the practice was at Wapa Banta. So, given that the practice is so strict over there, what kind of standards did he set for lay people to practice? But was it also quite strict, or how do you think it would be compared to what life was at Wapa Banta?
What do you mean, compared to here, to Wat Phu Kong Thong, or?
Oh, I know, it's just like, because I saw that the practice was very strict at Wapa Banta. So what were his standards for lay people when lay people asked for advice from Long Pa?
There was hardly any lay people asking advice from Long Pa. I mean, sometimes, you know, that when he was around at the coffee break, you know, then some of the lay people were asking for advice. But because there were so many people, I mean, he received so many guests, yeah. I mean, if there were guests, you know, who came, you know, from abroad, you know, or from far away, then he received them at his kuti, or when there are more than a few, you know, he received them in the sala, yeah. They could ask some questions, but most of the time they just listened to his talks. But the practice for lay people in Bantat was not so much different, yeah, than from monks. The only difference was that Lungta Mahabur did not look so closely on the lay people like he did look at his monks. He didn't feel that responsible for lay people. So they had a little bit more freedom. Did it answer the question?
Yes, thank you, John.
anyone else? If not, maybe I can start reading off the questions that were submitted before him.
Yeah, I have a question for Linda and Asenga.
Okay.
When are you coming?
Sawadika, Linda, I wish you good health. Yeah, now Brunei is just open, and we are still waiting, see, because a lot of things we don't understand what to do, see. I mean, the procedure, and I think now it's not very safe to travel. See.
Yes, it is safe. Yeah, you're afraid of COVID, huh? I mean, you listen too much to what your government is telling you, yeah? Yeah? I mean, Linda should know better. Yeah? She can do some research, yeah? At the moment it is Omicron, yeah? And it is not more than a normal cold, yeah? And every year we have a cold, so, huh? It is safe to travel. And it's much better to be in Thailand than in Brunei. Huh?
I need to take a booster jet before I can go out.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, you had your vaccine. You have two
checks. Two already, but they won't allow us to go out without booster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't got that yet.
Yeah. Well, do it and come here, yeah? Then here you don't have to take booster shots. I mean, I just heard, you know, I mean, last week I heard, you know, in Wat Phu Kong Thong, you know, the what is the abbot, yeah? Ajahn Suttham, he had 4 shots and still got COVID. So it doesn't help, yeah? I mean, and Linda should know, you know, I mean, it is not really a vaccine. It is a chip. What is it? gene manipulation, yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
That's right. Yeah.
So
that's
it's not a vaccine.
That's why we don't like the vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, get Omicron, you know, and then you are much better protected than anything else. And now it is not. Now it is very easy. Yeah, I mean, it's just a cold, a common cold. Anyway, so I'm in a hurry up. Yeah.
When we talk to you, we have to speak the truth. So we cannot make any promises. The truth. Otherwise, I got headaches. So the truth is, we are not ready to travel now.
What is the truth? You have no ready?
No, the truth is, we are not ready to travel yet because, we are not ready yet.
You have to die first, you know, before you're ready?
Because you know, when I talk to you, I have to be 100% sure, see, the truth. And then I cannot tell you why.
Linda, is he afraid, huh?
Don't come, man.
Then where is your practice? You know, you should practice at least 6 hours, 8 hours a day, huh? And Buddha, and don't think, yeah? And especially, you know, don't watch any news or don't read any newspaper, huh? Ha, 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 yeah.
But so, I'm very happy to see you.
I'm very happy to scold you, yeah?
Oh, yeah, thank you very much, thank you. Thank you very much.
So I give permission to Linda to scold you, yeah, when you're afraid of COVID.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you again very much. I think you need to scold my Kalisa.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm always only scolding Kalisa. I'm never scolding the person.
I think like the Taiwan say,
If we are born, every one of us dies. Huh?
I know.
And we die. Yeah, and we die because of our karma.
Yes.
Huh, Linda? Huh? Yeah. I mean, take a hammer and a nail and, you know, really get into it. We only die because of our karma.
Yes.
If it is our karma to have a heart attack or to have a stroke or to have cancer, you know, this is our karma. And there's nothing that we can prevent it from coming. And we cannot prevent death from coming, yeah? But if we are afraid, yeah, of dying, you know, I mean, we shouldn't be born. Huh?
No. Afraid of not having practice enough.
Yeah, so how many hours do you practice?
Depends, varies from time to time, see. Sometimes quite a number of hours, sometimes less. I cannot tell the fixed number because I cannot write.
About? If I say about?
About, I used to practice quite hard, maybe about 7 hours. Then as I keep going, I see no progress, it becomes 6 hours. Then more and more, another year passed, it becomes 5 hours.
3 hours, 2 hours. The more you progress, the more you should practice.
Because I reach a point where I cannot go already, it's always back to the same point in my meditation.
Then
it's the same point when I asked my question 4 years ago. I'm now still on the same point.
Well, what is the, What is the point?
Remember I told you about Apana Samadhi?
Yeah.
When we meditate until the mind is very calm, the breath is very subtle, then I can observe that the breath actually stops, but it doesn't stop long. I want it to stop long, but just go again.
Because you want. You don't observe what is going on. It's not so important, you know. I mean, even if it stops, then after your meditation, you go into investigation. You don't have to go into Apana Samadhi. I mean, it is useful, but if you can't, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, then leave it aside.
I just want to try one time.
Okay. I give you a recipe. Sit for 12 hours without moving.
I cannot do that.
That's why you don't get into.
And then one time, I was almost gone, blind. I know it's some strange feeling, but it doesn't last. I'm back again.
It really depends on. There is not a strange feeling, yeah. When you go into Apana Samadhi, I mean, all what you know is, you go in, and then you come out. These are the two points that you remember. But when you look at your watch, or when you look at the clock, hours or even days can have passed by.
No such experience. I cannot give you the good news. That's why I cannot pay you.
I mean, Apana Samadhi is not the good news. To cut down the fetters, to cut down your kilesas is the good news. Yeah? And if there is still so much fear, then you have not worked on your kilesas.
Yeah, because I have been spending a lot of time on Samatha meditation for these few years. When I met you, I have been practicing Samatha. Now I want to ask you. Because you mentioned that samatha is samatha, investigation is investigation. Don't mix, right? And then you said, if a person has the ability to stay in samadhi for at least 15 minutes, then he can go into
investigation. Yeah.
So now my question to you is, I don't look at my clock all the time when I meditate. So if I just sit down, I'm doing samatha meditation. Then when I find my mind is very calm, everything is very clear, can I switch over to investigation?
But first you stop the samatha meditation.
Yeah. You know, once I switch over, it will be completely investigation.
No, you really have to make a break so that you don't automatically go into investigation. So you're open. Yeah, you get out. You get out of samadhi slowly. Slowly by starting to think again, and then opening your eyes, realizing where you are, and then you make a determination. Now for the next hour, I do investigation. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought when the mind is very calm, this is the time to.
Yes. But then you have to stop the samatha first.
So it doesn't matter. We don't have to look at the clock, right? I don't have to keep
them. But you have a feeling, yeah?
Yeah.
When you're in samadhi, you know, I mean, if your mind is calm for long enough, you know, so it can concentrate on the objects, yeah?
Meditation, I can cook better.
Cook better?
No idea. Cook better.
Yeah.
Cook better food.
Yeah, Linda enjoys it.
Okay, Rupo, since I'm on this topic again, can I post on to my question? Because I wrote the question to Changi, but now instead of him reading, now I'm asking. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is this. I have seen many cases, old people Before they enter the hospital, they are still alive. But when they enter the hospital, they are unconscious.
They are what?
The doctor.
They are what?
Before they enter the hospital, I have seen old people. They are sick.
Yeah.
Then they go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Then they enter the hospital. After the doctor treat them, they become unconscious. Then they drag on a bed and then live on life supporting machine.
Yeah.
They have. He is not conscious, but they feed him with automatic.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is machine. Yeah. And then the medical bill is very high.
Yeah.
By the thousand. And then the people who are supporting him is very hard time just mm-hmm. to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor, the hospital is happy because
yeah, of course.
The bill is paid, machine gone. Mm-hmm. No problem. And then the heart still pumping. So now my question is that, can the person who make decision decide whether to switch on the machine or beyond the doctor will not do it? They will push the problem to the family people, see, that you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
So, if the family people want to continue, maybe they go bankrupt. They have no money to survive. But if they want to make a decision, they want to say, okay, this guy is not responding, not coming back. Can we ask the doctor to turn up the machine? Now, if that is the case, will that be amounting to murder?
No.
So they don't have to feel guilty at all. Now, and turning up the machine,
but the
man died.
The best thing is, yeah, to ask the person before he goes into hospital if he wants to. If that person says, no, don't switch on the machines, yeah? Then just don't switch on the machines. Hmm?
Yeah. So, okay, say for example now, question number two. When a person, he knows the story, he is experienced. So when he enters the hospital, he tell the family people, look, if I happen to become a vegetable, can you please stop paying and then let me go?
See? Yeah.
Now, when the person says this, is he committing suicide?
No. I mean, he's not killing. He's not killing himself, yeah? I mean, people think, you know, just because you're on the machine that you're still alive. Without the machine, he would be dead. So, that would be natural death. So he's not committing suicide. I don't even want to go to the hospital when I'm sick.
Yeah, no. I think it's better to die naturally in the house, right? And no so many machines plucking here and there. See?
It's only the hospitals and the pharma industry and the medical industry,
yes.
You know, that earns all this money. Yeah. Just do
yes,
like,
yes.
Just look at COVID. You know how much
yeah.
millions or billions they raked in. Yeah.
I have seen my friend, they paid a lot of money just to maintain on the hospital, drag on day after day.
It also depends, you know, on the family, you know. Even when the person says, I don't want to be on the life support, yeah? And then the family, you know, still cannot let go of him, then they will put him on life support, even if he said, you know, I don't wish to be on life support. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, every person has the hope that, you know, that he will regain consciousness. Yes, it does happen in some of the cases. Yeah? But most of the time it doesn't happen. And it is not murder. Yeah. Neither the family murders him, because without the life support he would die anyway. Yeah? It's not an active killing like the active killing that is done by injecting something. That is active
yes.
killing. And if he says yes. to the doctor to give me this injection, then it is self, what is it? Suicide, yeah?
Yes.
You understand that? Yeah? A life-supporting machine, you know, I mean, to put it on or to put it not on is not neither murder nor suicide, yeah?
Yeah, Because I'm sure the person is very unhappy, you see, he's on the machine, but he cannot talk. So nobody can understand him, see, and then he will be very miserable to be on the machine for day, eat, and day.
He's not even in this body. He's gone.
I see.
He sees that he cannot use the body, so, I mean, he will leave the body. Yeah, and then it is just a body on a life supporting machine without somebody sitting inside the car. Yeah?
Yes. Because we have no wisdom, so we thought that if I switch off the machine, I'm killing him. So that's why I cannot switch on. So keep on playing the film, keep on going on. See, that is the problem.
Yes, that's how people think, yeah, but it's not, yeah. I mean, before, you know, 30 years ago, there were no life supporting machines, yeah, so our people died. Huh?
Yeah. For example, like the case of my mother, she knew she was sick, and then she don't want to go to the hospital. She did not want to go to the hospital. She said she just want to bring up the sickness and then die. I think that is a good policy, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, yeah.
Let the people make their own decision what they want to do, yeah? Huh?
Yeah, because I know that we are not supposed to attach to the body, but then we need the body to practice.
So yeah, but you cannot practice in a vegetable state. You cannot practice when you are unconscious.
So that means the best way is when we are grown old and we are sick, we better avoid the doctor. We just stay at home and die, prepare to die naturally.
I mean, that really depends on the person, yeah? Yes, for us as practitioner, of course, it would be best, yeah?
Just investigate the pain, investigate the body, and then until we die, right?
Unless you have a sickness that can be cured. Yeah? If a sickness can be cured, I mean, why shouldn't you go to the hospital? Yeah? If you have a stroke and then the doctor, you know, sucks out the blood, you know, and then you can regain consciousness or at least, you know, sometimes only partial, yeah? Partial, you know, I mean, your body is partially, you know, what is it, inhabited? That is okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't say don't go to the hospital, yeah. That is wrong understanding. No, I mean, if you're old and you know it is about time to die, you know, then don't go to the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, because I know I'm cold. That's why I'm counting the time.
You don't like cold?
Yes. What do you say, Rupo?
What did you say? I didn't understand you.
Oh, I said I know I am old.
Yeah.
O-L-D.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why very often I count the time, how much left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, use the time. You don't practice 10 hours a day. So what are you doing in the other 14 hours? If you only practice 6 hours, what are you doing in 18 hours, huh?
I understand the logic, but sometimes it's really tiring. The charisma don't want to practice. You sit there,
I mean, there's a very simple way. If the kilesas don't like to practice, tell him, go and play, and I practice. Yeah. That's what I did quite often. Yeah? I said, the kilesas were tired and said, okay, go and sleep, you know, and leave me alone and I practice. And then I practiced. Yeah?
Yeah.
And the kilesas went to sleep.
And one of the times that this logic can be used is when I cannot sleep, like maybe having some insomnia problem. Then I tell myself, good, now I can practice the whole night because since you don't want to sleep, I practice immediately. I'm gone. So I sleep.
T- It's always the same, yeah? The moment you start to practice, you fall asleep, yeah?
Yeah. And then sometimes I thought I practiced very well, but Linda took a photo. Myself is like almost touching the floor. See, my body is like, and I thought I was practicing well, and I didn't even know. And then she took a photograph to show me. Now this is what is a practice.
Well, you know it, yeah? When you come out of the practice and you feel pain in the head muscles or in the neck muscles, you know, then you know you have practiced. Yeah? But if you feel awake, yeah, then you have practiced. Yeah? If you feel tired, you have not practiced, yeah?
Yeah. If I come out of the practice, I feel like someone's smashing my head, then I know I'm not practicing. Because I carry a big stone on my head. How can that be practice?
Practice is trying. Okay, so now, yeah. So your questions are answered, or now?
I think I have asked my question already.
Okay.
And one before I finish this, if I speak anything not the truth, please forgive me because I don't know
what to say. Puto. Linda, tell him puto. Whenever he comes with doubt, you know, puto. Huh? So always, it's still the same problem, yeah? Okay?
Okay, thank you very much, Hugo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aseng, Linda. So, there's a one hand raised from Kelvin. So, Kelvin, you want to go ahead?
What?
Hi, Ajahn.
Yeah?
Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear.
Yes. Okay, just check with Ajahn, because now the border is open. Is Ajahn convenient to travel abroad, right, to Singapore?
I would have to look into that. Because I'm not vaccinated. So as long as the airlines require vaccination, yeah, I mean, within Thailand, they don't require it anymore.
So I think...
But I don't know about the airlines, if they still require vaccination, yeah. I mean, I would have to ask, yeah. But the moment it is up, you know, maybe in 2 months, you know, I mean, everybody forgets about, you know, the COVID, you know, and everybody's concerned about the coming war, you know, or the war, the extending war, yeah. then I can fly, yeah.
Okay, waiting for you. You are just...
Yeah, I haven't been to Singapore for a while, huh? It used to be is it still a prison or you can go out now?
Now we can travel out and come back without any checks, I think. Yeah.
But you have to be boosted, huh?
Yeah, you have to be fully vaccinated in order to travel. Yeah. Otherwise, there'll be quite a few measures, like there'll be quarantine or something like that. And you have to do tests when you come.
Yeah. Let's see, you know, I mean, hopefully it drops in now within the next few months, yeah. I mean, did you hear it? You know, in the States, you know, one chat said, you know, I mean, it is against the law, you know, to force people to have a mask on. Yeah. And when they said that in the airplanes, you know, the people were clapping, yeah, and were taking off, ripping off their mask, and said, oh, wow, that's so nice, yeah. But in probably in Singapore, you still have to wear a mask when you go out, huh? Sunny?
Yeah. If you are in outdoors, you don't need to. Only when you are indoors, like air conditioned environment, then. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Oh. So instead of bring your mask around,
I mean, that's why it is so, you know, we live here in nature, you know, I mean, it's so free. Why don't you come? When you can travel, why don't you come to Wat Phu Kong Thong, huh?
Yeah, it's very hot now.
No, it's not hot. It's not this hot. Year it is cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it has rained all the time, you know, I mean, it wasn't really that hot, yeah.
Okay, I'll come over soon.
Yeah, I mean, you can come in May, you know, May or June, yeah, I mean, it's, okay. But let's see, you know, I mean, at the moment, you know, the restrictions are minimal, yeah, then I come, yeah. I can also, is somebody there from Indonesia or Malaysia? No. Hendrik is not on, or?
No, Hendrik is not on today.
So it's only Singapore today.
Yeah, I think there are some
Malaysians. Yeah, Brunei. Brunei. Well, half Brunei because Malaysia, huh? Okay, so.
Look, I say I cannot breathe very well with a mask. I cannot breathe very well with a mask.
Yeah, nor do I. I cannot breathe, yeah, that's why I normally don't wear a mask, yeah. And if I have to wear a mask maybe for 10 minutes or 15 minutes when I go in a shop and then the moment I go out, yeah, then I don't wear it. And that's why most of the time we didn't even wear a mask on Pindabad, yeah. Only when they really said you should wear a mask, yeah, and then we did it.
Yeah. Most of the time I also pull down and leave here.
That's
under the mouth, yeah.
Of course. Under the nose, so that you can breathe through the nose. Okay, so let's go, let's get back to the questions, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So, Ajahn, just read the questions that were submitted.
Yeah?
Okay, so first question from Kevin Lee.
You don't have to mention the name, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Dear Ajahn, I work as a psychologist, so I listen to people's thoughts which cause them suffering, and I try to provide support for them by listening, giving them an explanation, or giving them advice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious whether this will influence my own sankharas and affecting my practice. Hope you can advise me on how to protect my mind from this job. Thank you, Ajahn.
It will affect you, you know, when you listen to other people's thoughts, yeah. And it will affect you, especially if you give advice, yeah. If you just listen, yeah, and carefully, and if you listen with your heart and not with your mind, then it won't affect you that much. But the moment you give advice to other people, this will affect your thinking. Because you think something up, you know, what is good for others, yeah? Most of the people don't do what they tell others to do, yeah? So it does affect, yeah? I mean, he has to practice. I mean, if he listens, yeah? If he listens with his heart to what the people say, he will truly understand what their problem is, yeah? And he doesn't have to answer to their questions or to what they're saying, but he answers to their heart. Yeah? But that is, it's not easy, you know, you have to do a lot of practice to be able to listen to the heart. Yeah? Because most people listen to what they speak, you know, they listen with their mind to what other people say. Yeah? They don't listen with their heart to what other people say. So it will affect him. Yeah? But if he does it, you know, if he practices a lot and starts to listen with his heart, yeah, then also the advice is coming from the heart and then, yeah, it doesn't affect his practice, you know, it actually helps his practice. Okay?
Thank you, Ajahn. Next question. A woman met a divorced man and they lived together for years. A few months before their wedding, the man confessed that although he has separated from his wife, they have not legally divorced yet. So does it mean that the woman has committed adultery even though she thought the man was already divorced?
Now the woman did not, if she really did not know, yeah, she didn't commit adultery, but he did. The man did. Yeah. If she knows or if she is suspicious that he still has not divorced, yeah, then she commits, yeah, some minor, yeah. But he is the one who is guilty. Okay, next question.
Next question. If a wife, due to illness, allows her husband to see prostitute, does the husband break precept of committing adultery? Does the wife commit any wrongdoing by giving permission?
No, I don't see any reason, yeah. I don't see any wrongdoing. Yeah. But she has to, you know, she has to, the wife, you know, or the husband who is sick, you know, really has, it has to come from his heart, you know. I said, okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go to prostitutes or you find a temporary lover. If she feels pressured, then there's a part, yeah. Then there's a part of fault in it. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Next question. I recently did a silent meditation retreat, and afterwards felt a lot of anger, which surprised me. Can Tan Ajahn please explain if this is due to the defilements, personal karma, or something else? Thank you.
I mean, that is extremely difficult to say, yeah. I don't know what, you know, if she did a silent retreat, yeah. I mean, what kind of thoughts came up during the silent retreat? Yeah. I mean, because they gave rise to the anger, yeah. Or she got somewhere in his heart at a difficult place that gave rise to the anger. Or she saw something. I mean, very difficult to say. It has nothing to do with the silent retreat, yeah? It has all to do, you know, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories came up during the retreat or shortly after the retreat, yeah? That are the ones that give rise to anger, yeah? Maybe she was unhappy about herself that she didn't continue the retreat or that she didn't ordain as a Meiji or as a monk, yeah? I don't know, yeah. So I mean, I cannot answer this question. I mean, she has to look at her thoughts and memories that were going on, yeah, that give rise, you know, and then she has the answer, that give rise to the anger. No? No, my chief? No? Lay people. Ah, anger is there so easily. Yeah? I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes if we do, but if she went to a silent retreat, there was no investigation, body investigation. If we do body investigation, hate comes up because, you know, we see something that we don't want to see. And that is even in the world, you know, when we see something we don't want to see, we see it, you know, see a person that does something that we don't like, you know, anger comes up, yeah? And yeah, when we do our super practice, then anger comes up because we are looking at something that we don't want to see. Yeah? And then we have to deal with the anger. But I talk often about how to deal with anger, yeah? It's the same thing, it's a similar thing like how to deal with fear or how to deal, the first thing, you know, how to deal with dukkha vedana, yeah? Painful feeling. Yeah? Michi Wendy. Windy. Painful feelings. Yeah, they rise up all the time. Yeah? And then we try to move, and then we try to move there, you know, and we try to evade the painful feeling instead of investigating them. Huh? We want to get rid of all these unpleasant things. Yeah? If we can't get rid of it, you know, we get angry, you know, or dissatisfied. Or sometimes, you know, what is it, torn child? Sometimes, you know, we get in doubt, you know, if this practice is the right thing and so on and so on. All sorts of things happen. Okay, next question.
Okay,
Thank you, Ajahn. Next question. As lay practitioners, is it enough to keep the precepts and practice as much as possible, or is there more we can do? Thank you.
I mean, how many precepts? Yeah. I mean, if you talk about the five precepts that is normally in the world, yeah, it's fine, you will come to a certain state, yeah, but you will not come further on, yeah. I mean, as a lay person, if you live in a monastery, even as a lay person, and keep the eight precepts, I mean, you can go further on, yeah. There are certain things, you know, that prohibit you, yeah, because you don't fence yourself off certain kinds of kilesas, yeah. If you don't fence yourself off certain kinds of kilesas, you won't see them coming up. So living as a lay person in your home, you know, where everything is comfortable, you don't see certain kilesas coming up, huh? And when they come up, then we have to move to another monastery. And then to the next, and then to the next, yeah? I mean, we always, just like we move away from pain when we do sitting meditation, we move away from this unpleasant experience that we have. Yeah? When we don't feel so comfortable, I mean, we feel hungry and there's nothing to eat, there's no food around, you know, or we are not allowed to eat, you know, I mean, then we feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And instead of dealing with this painful feeling, yeah, or with this unpleasant feeling, we look for another place. Yeah. And in the first few days, you know, it will be nice, you know, until the same thing comes up again, yeah? And then we look for the next place, huh? Remember the story of the Lord Buddha and Ananda, huh? Yeah? We should go to another city where they don't call us camel heads or whatever, yeah? Or scumbags, you know? Huh? And then the Lord Buddha said, you know, and if the next city they call you the same thing, yeah, where do you go? In the end, there is no place where you can go and escape yourself. Understood? So, next question.
Okay, yeah. That's all the questions that were submitted. Anyone else has questions?
The people don't practice, that, so they don't have any questions, huh? You should practice, all of you, I mean, who are here, huh? And it is very important, especially, I mean, I mention it, especially now in this time. It is so important, you know, to practice, to calm the mind down, yeah? And not, and especially refrain from inputting so many information that is out there, yeah? Because that just worries the mind, you know, and a worried mind doesn't get easily to rest. And a mind that doesn't easily get to rest worries even more or is afraid, yeah? And fear is never a good advisor, yeah? You have to understand that. I mean, use the time, you know, if you don't have to work, you know, on weekends, you know, use the time to practice a lot, yeah? If you have a family and have to look after kids, yes, yeah? But even then, you have time to look after yourself, yeah? Make this the first priority. Yeah? If you're really serious about practice, the first priority is your practice. Yeah? So the moment you wake up, you start to practice. Yeah? And only then do you wash your face, or you go to the toilet, or you have your breakfast. Don't have the breakfast first, you know, and then want to practice, because that will never work out. Yeah? Then you have something else to do. Then you have something else to do. Then the whole morning, yeah? I mean, as a practitioner, the first thing is, the first priority, yeah? Is practice. Yeah? And then, after that, comes work, yeah? Or looking after the body. Is that understood? Yes, Linda.
Yes, Linda, yes.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
I just want to ask, to be a sotapan, you have to break the first three factors, correct?
Yeah.
But what about in terms of the precept? I mean, how tight must the precept be? Because at the moment, I mean, we are still full of anger, or we get angry, or we, you know. So our precept.
No, that has nothing. The precept is not harming any living being.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Okay.
Not taking what is not given. No
okay.
sexual misconduct.
Okay.
No lies or harsh speech, you know, that harms others. Yeah.
The harsh speech.
Yeah.
When we are angry, we sort of lash out.
Yeah, this you shouldn't do. Lash out at yourself.
No, but
yes. But it, this is not, yeah, I mean, if it happens once in a while, this is not a hindrance to Sotapan, yeah? The biggest hindrance to Sotapan is to understand that the body and the citta are not one and the same thing. I mean, even a Sotapanna is full of kilesas, is still full of hate, yeah? He has not cut down on hate, yeah? And he has not cut down on greed. Hmm?
Okay.
Yeah?
So there's still hope.
Of course there is hope, yeah? I mean, if you practice
according. So it doesn't have to be like 100% tight precept, no?
No. But your samatha has to be 100% tight.
Yeah. Okay.
And your investigation.
Okay. All right, understand. Thank you. Thank you.
It's just like some of the Germans, you know, had a very strange idea. We have to make sila perfect, you know, before we can even start practicing. Yeah, but they don't remember that sila, samadhi, panya are three columns, you know that have to be evenly raised. Yeah, I mean, without sati, you know, you don't see how you break the silas. Huh? Without panya, you don't know. Yeah, you cannot correct anything, and you constantly break the silas. How can you perfect the silas without sati and panya? Yeah? Without samadhi and panya? Yeah? And some people say, oh, I don't need the silas, you know, I just practice samadhi. You cannot practice samadhi without the silas. Yeah? And you cannot develop panya without the silas. They all three belong together. Yeah? And a lot of people have these strange ideas. Yeah, I mean, I only do panya. Yeah? Yeah? This is not panya. This is just thinking. Yeah. I mean, we have been trained to think, you know, since our birth, you know, but we haven't been enlightened through our thinking, yeah? Understood? So, I mean, make it the first priority, yeah? I mean, the moment you wake up, the first thing is your Buddha or your breath, yeah? And then you sit down, you know, for at least half an hour or 45 minutes before you do anything else. Because the moment you do something, your thoughts and memories are coming in, and then you go on, you know, you fall in your rhythm, yeah? That's not good. So you break it, you know, and you break after sleep, yeah? And all the dreams that, you know, you just shut up, yeah? You chase them out, yeah? And only stay with the Buddha and only stay with the breath. And then you have a clear mind, and then, yeah, with sati you do the next thing. But don't think about, you know, the 10 next thing. Yeah? Just do the next thing. Yeah? And then have a moment of breath, you know, and then see, you know, what is the next thing to do. Yeah? Otherwise, I mean, nothing changes in our life if we just go on the same, huh? The same treaded path that we treaded all our life. Yeah? So practice is the important thing. Yeah? And it is especially, you know, in these times, you know, for the last 2 years, but now, you know, also with the war in Ukraine, you know, I mean, it is important for us, yeah? There are other things are coming up, and we don't know, yeah? And we have to be able, you know, to be able to deal with fear, yeah? It doesn't matter if it is fear of death, or fear of war, or fear of suppression, or fear of sickness, or anything, yeah? Fear is a kilesa, remember that. And it comes from thoughts and memories, yeah? And then look at the thoughts and memories that create this fear, yeah? And then get rid of them. A person who is constantly doing Buddha or observing his breath, he's not afraid of anything. Even when death is coming, you know, even if he knows that death is coming, yeah? I mean, what should he be afraid of, yeah? We are constantly in the future and we are constantly in the past, yeah? I mean, that's why we are never in the present moment. In the present moment, there's just this thing happening, yeah? And we cannot think 10 steps ahead, you know, what is happening within that next 10 moments, yeah? We are just here in this one moment, and there we have the decision, yeah? And if our mind is clear, then we can make the right decision. But if our mind is loaded with thoughts and memories, you know, I mean, we always make the wrong decision. And that's why we always make the same mistakes, over and over and over again. We don't learn from our mistakes. Understood?
Lungpo, sometimes when the mind gets really calm, like very, very quiet, suddenly the fear arises.
That is a different fear.
You don't dare to jump in, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Then suddenly you just feel, don't know what to do. I mean,
you have to prepare yourself. Before you do samadhi, you have to prepare yourself. Yeah? I mean, remember the times when you were a little child, you know, and you were afraid when the mother went out of the room and closed the light, you know, you were afraid of the dark, and sometimes you were even afraid that you didn't wake up, yeah? And that this kind of fear is the same thing that when we enter samadhi, yeah? It is the fear of death, yeah? I mean, you have to overcome it gradually, you know, each time you you practice samadhi, you know, and you know you get calm, you know, say, you know, let's see what is happening. Let's see what is left over. Yeah? Everything around us can die. And that is, especially happens in apana samadhi. The whole world disappears. Yeah? The first thing is our body starts to disappear. First the feet, then the hands, then the arms, you know, and then the head, then even the head, you know, until only the heart area. And then this disappeared, and then the whole world disappeared, yeah? Yeah, but there is something left, and this is what we have to hold on to. This is what we have to jump into. And then we can reach apana samadhi. And then we can see, you know, that all the things, you know, that we live in today, you know, is nothing else than a delusion made of thoughts, memories, feelings, and so on, yeah? Because when we come back out of apana samadhi, we don't know who we are, we don't know where we are, we don't know what we are doing, yeah? If we have been long enough. So, then the memory starts coming back, you know, and until, you know, if you've been long enough, it takes a few minutes, you know, until you realize who you are, what you are, why you're doing it, yeah? And then you see this whole world is built on this, on these five khandhas, yeah? It's just like people, it is just like people dive into a video game and completely get consumed by this video game. They don't realize what is going out, yeah? Going on around them, yeah?
Okay.
And the younger people should know that, yeah, who play video games, yeah, constantly on their phones, yeah? Okay.
Okay. And one last question. Sometimes when you get really calm, I mean, there's this tendency to want to get out of meditation.
Yes.
Is that common, Kilesa?
Yes.
Because I find that many, many times, yes, when I'm really calm, I just think, okay, let's get out, you know, that's it, finish.
Yeah. That's where you have to counteract that thought, yeah?
I know, but I haven't, yeah.
It happened to me so often, yeah? And sometimes I even didn't know why, you know, the moment I got up, I said, what happened, yeah? Why did I get up, yeah?
Yeah.
And when I had, and then I trained myself, when I had the thought to get up, then I said, okay, now I continue. And then it is tough.
Yeah, it is very tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you overcome, you know, you have to fight, you have to battle for 15 or 20 minutes, and then it gets calm again.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Rupo. Thank you.
You're welcome. See you soon. And take this old man with you, yeah? Yeah? Tell him there's nothing to fear of, huh? Than your own karma. Okay, so other questions?
Yeah, I think Eric, you can unmute yourself.
thank you. Thank you, moderator. Good evening to Adan, Martin. My question is, relating to what Adan just said, you have nothing to fear but your own karma. So my question is, what if there is some external factor poison the body and make poison the mind and make the mind go insane, crazy, because the Buddha said the mind is the forerunner
of
all state.
Yeah.
So if a person go crazy from taking a poison,
from what?
Taking poison.
Do you understand poison, that?
Poison.
When then, and then the mind goes insane.
Poison. So poison.
Poison. Or from poison.
Yeah. And will that cause the person to be reborn in a low, woeful plane because of his crazy mind? And
I mean, it has nothing to do with the crazy mind, you know. I don't think that there's a poison, you know, that makes the mind crazy, yeah? I mean,
okay, yes, there is. Yes, the poison that I'm talking about is the vaccine. The vaccine, from what I hear,
no,
you'll make people go crazy and they will want to.
No. The vaccine itself is, I mean, it might be poisonous, you know. I mean, it's certainly not healthy, yeah? But it doesn't make the mind crazy. What makes the mind crazy is thought, yeah? If I have an idea that the for instance, the vaccine is poisonous, you know, and it makes me crazy, then it will make me crazy. But if I don't have that thought, it won't make me crazy. But there might be some side effects, you know. Some people die because they take the vaccine, yeah? I mean, it happened here, you know. A person, you know, who worked out every day, he got the shot, you know, and in the evening he was dead, yeah? It does happen, yeah? No, it depends on your, it also depends on your karma. But you don't get crazy because of, yeah, of something, of some food, or, you know, you will die because of some poison, yeah? But you don't get crazy. The mind and the body are two different things, yeah? How the mind reacts to the situation of the body, when he is afraid of, you know, the condition of the body, that can make him crazy. But a person who is crazy is a person who cannot stop thinking. So a practitioner who always knows how to stop thinking by doing buddho, 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 cannot become crazy. You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
You have to separate. You really have to separate out the body and the mind. Yeah? Of course, the mind is affected by the body. But the body cannot make the mind go crazy. Yeah? It is always the mind that makes itself crazy through thoughts, through memories, and through feelings and whatever. Yeah.
But because this vaccine, they said we have the technology for the people to input thoughts and vision into your head.
No.
So they.
No. I mean, I read a lot about it, but I didn't read that. These are some ideas. Yes, I know some people say these things, you know, but there's no proof to it. Nah? When I look at, you know, when I look at somebody, you know, who says something like that, then I look at the proof. If he doesn't give me proof, I don't believe it. Nah? There must be some proof, there must be some cases, you know. I mean, there must be a clinical study. Yeah. And if there is no clinical study, yeah, just like with the mass, there is some clinical study. With the vaccines, there are clinical studies. Yeah, they are slowly opened up now by Pfizer, you know, because they were forced to do that. Yeah, so and it shows, you know, I mean, they did quite a lot of, you know, mismanagement in the trials. Yeah, but nothing, you know, I mean, this cannot. It is impossible. Yeah. The citta itself, you know, I mean, the thoughts are within the citta. It uses the brain, you know, to formulate these, yeah, thoughts, yeah, and it uses, yeah. I mean, it is just like, you know, you say your computer makes you crazy, huh? It's a user, yeah, who gets crazy with his computer, yeah. Even if the computer displays a lot of, you know, crazy images, yeah, The user doesn't have to look at it. Yeah? You understand that? The mind, yeah. Chitta is a, you know, it is a forerunner, yeah. And if you don't have control over your mind, you know, I mean, then yes, you can take, you know, far away, yeah, into all sorts of ideas, yeah. I'm very skeptical about the vaccine, but what you said, you know, I mean, there's no evidence for that.
Well, yeah, there is the military. They conducted a experiment. So they have two people in two separate rooms. One is playing the video game with the one is playing the video game with the mind to move here and to move there. Yeah. But the other person is not watching the TV, not looking at the screen, but holding the game controller. So the person with the visual is thinking and then is controlling the arms for the other person to move the game, to move the player. So that's how they're able to mind control. The other person.
Yeah, I mean that, but that is the reaction of the mind to the input. Yeah? Of course, a person, you know, who's very gullible to all these things, you know, that come from outside, you know, I mean, he's much more affected by a person who is strong inside, yeah? He's not affected by anything. Of course, there is brainwashing, and, you know, I mean, all. Everywhere where you look now, you know, in most of the countries, people are brainwashed, yeah? Yeah?
Okay.
But it's their own decision to be brainwashed, yeah? I mean, because they are too lazy to use their thoughts, you know, to critical thinking, you know, to investigate, yeah? They just believe what, you know, whatever people say, you know, what the newspapers say or what the government say, yeah?
Okay.
So they are responsible, you know, it is not what, you know, yeah? Of course, you know, I mean, how does advertisement work, you know? I mean, they study the psychology of people for what they fall for, yeah? And that's how advertisement works, yeah? But if a person, you know, said, you know, so what? This advertisement doesn't work on that person. So he's in control of himself, yeah? But the others are not, because they have never, you know, they have never gone above the level of knowing what they are doing, why they are doing, and what the result of their action is. This is a person who is mindful, or this is a person who has sati, yeah?
Okay, so that means if the person who took the vaccine, it doesn't matter whether he took the vaccine or not, if he is going to die, his karma is going to die, then he's going to die either way, taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. Am I correct to say that? I mean, either going to die or going to suffer handicap from the vaccine. It's going to happen to him, either he took it or not, or it won't happen to him whether he took it or not, because this is...
This is not so easy to answer, because I only have a very limited understanding. I mean, you can say about yes, yeah? But not in every case, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, I mean, not everything is direct by karma, yeah? There are chances, yeah? And it might be a chance, you know, but I cannot comment about this, yeah? I mean, I have a very crude understanding, very basic understanding of how karma works, yeah? Because I observed myself and I observed my own karma and I observed my own reaction, yeah? But this is difficult to answer, yeah? But about it is right, yeah? I mean, if somebody, you know, if somebody takes the vaccine, maybe he dies a few years, yeah? Earlier, yeah? This can always happen, yeah? And if he didn't have the vaccine, you know, he would die, you know, a few years later, yeah? Or he dies a few years later, you know, because he didn't take the vaccine, or he takes the vaccine, you know, and there are people that help, yeah? I mean, one man's poison is the other man's medicine. You are Asian, you have to understand this, yeah? This truth in this, yeah? Not every sickness can be cured by the same medicine, yeah? And not every medicine, you know, helps the people, yeah? Some people, you know, are helped, and other people die from it, yeah? This is also something you have to understand. So everybody has to understand the nature of his own body, you know, what is good for him. Yeah? Not just believe, you know, what other people say. Yeah? See, you know, test it out, you know, on yourself, or sometimes you even know, no, this is not good for me. Yeah? And then you don't take it. Yeah?
Okay, thank you, Adan.
Yeah. Remember this, one man's poison is the other man's medicine, and the other man's medicine is another man's poison. If you remember this well, you know, I mean, be careful, yeah?
Okay, thank you, Adan.
Yeah. Sadhu. I'm still waiting for you to come. Sadhu, sadhu. The sadhu, sadhu, sadhu must come to Wat Phu Kong Thong, huh? Okay, any more? Otherwise, then I ask some questions here. If there are some questions here, you know, now you can ask, yeah? Yeah? Yok Mani, huh? Winnie, huh? Sunanda, huh? Emily, huh? People don't practice, you know. If they don't practice, they don't have questions, huh?
I have a question.
Okay.
I was listening to an MP3 talk.
What?
I was listening to an MP3 talk.
MP3.
Yeah.
And you mentioned while doing anapanasati, you have a tendency to control the breath.
Yeah.
So, but you also mentioned it took you an year to get rid of that controlling tendency.
Yeah.
Since I started Anapana practice, I also feel the same.
Yeah.
I know I am controlling, but I don't know how not to control.
The moment you see that you're controlling, relax. Just tell yourself relax. And then look at the body, relax, yeah? And then go on, yeah? And the next time you feel it controlling, relax. Yeah?
Okay.
That's the way. Or just take puto, yeah? Put with breathing in and puto with breathing out, yeah? And take this, yeah? But this is the way how I overcome. But it takes some time, yeah? Okay. It doesn't go within a week or 2 weeks, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It took me, you know, it took me months, you know, maybe even a year or 2 years, you know, before I could freely breathe. And it is so different. Mm-hmm. Yeah? I mean, we normally freely breathe when we do some other work, you know. Huh? The moment we start meditating, you know, I mean, we control it, you know. No, the breath has to be calm. No, the breath has to be this. No, the breath has to be that, yeah. No. The moment you feel this thought or you see this thought coming up, you have to counteract it, yeah. Yeah? Say no. Huh? First say no and then relax, you know. And then it gets more and more subtle, you know, and then you see you breathe more freely, yeah. And we observe the breath, yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, I told you, you know, how to learn how to observe, you know, observe the animals, yeah. Be it ants, you know, or be it the be it the squirrels and so on, you know, I mean, just observe it, or the birds, yeah. You can't control them. But you can observe them and know exactly at every moment what they are doing. Why can't you do that with your breath? Huh? Because you think you are the breath. No. Okay, so another question.
In this Q&A, Ajahn mentioned from the heart and from the mind. When we were studying Abhidhamma, in this heart, how I don't know how to understand when you say from the heart. If we see that mental factors, chedasikas, so
the heart and the mind, are aspects of the chitta, yeah. And the chitta is, you know, is the thing where also the kilesas are in. So, I mean, it is very difficult, yeah. I mean, when I talk about the heart, I talk more about the emotion aspect. When I talk about the mind, I think more about the rational aspects, yeah. But it's all aspects of the citta. Yeah? So get to know the citta and see what is going on in the citta, and that you can manage it. Yeah? You don't have to understand anything. Yeah? If you try to understand, that is where you use your mind, you know, your faculties, you know, I mean the brain, yeah, to make some conclusions, yeah. And this is all wrong understanding. Yeah? Understanding in the way of the heart or in the way of the citta is to see something happening. That's how we understand.
Emotions sometimes can be, in the akusala side. Like
what?
Emotions.
Yeah, can be.
Sometimes can be on the negative side. Like.
Yeah, but emotion is not one of the khandhas. You have to see how emotions start. Emotion is like a avalanche. Huh? You put a stone in the snow and it rolls down. So with the first roll, it takes on some snow. With the next roll, it takes on more snow. And the longer it rolls, the bigger it becomes. And that is called an emotion. Yeah? And it starts, the stone, it can be, yeah? The starting point of an emotion can be a, yeah? Can be something seeing, yeah? And the reaction to what we see, so a thought or a memory, and then a feeling attached to it, and then comes another thought that has a similar feeling attached to it, and then it adds up these feelings, yeah, until it becomes an emotion. Yeah? Thoughts, you know, a thought, you know, always has a slight attachment of feeling to it. Yeah, a feeling itself doesn't have an attachment because it's a feeling. Yeah, but it adds up to the feeling, and then comes a memory that is similar, you know, that has a similar feeling, you know, and then it adds up, you know, just like a avalanche, yeah? And it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, until you think it is an emotion that you cannot hold up, yeah? But you can take the stone out, you know, and there's no emotion coming. Or you can interrupt it at any moment, you know, by saying, buddha, 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 and this emotion is gone. Emotion is not one of the khandhas, yeah? Feeling is one of the khandhas, yeah? It is neutral feeling, positive feeling, or negative feeling. Yeah, but your reaction to the feeling creates an emotion. Yeah, and brings up memories. You know, of the same feeling that you had. You know, when you saw this person or that person. I mean, it's a, yeah. I mean, observe it yourself. Yeah. I mean, how did I understand it? I observed what was going on in my heart. That's how I understand all the things that I teach you. Otherwise, you know, I would have to take the suttas, you know, or things that other people said that I may have misunderstood, yeah, and teach you the wrong thing. No, I teach you only the things that I really practiced myself and have seen for myself, yeah, and have analyzed for myself. Yeah? And the nice thing about this is it happens in every person in the same way. And forget about the Abhidhamma, please. I mean, so many people, I mean, I've seen so many. Yes, we went through school, we went through university, and the only thing, yeah, I mean, we didn't even realize that we have a body. Huh? Because we constantly were up there. Huh? And the Abhidhamma is helping us to be up there. You know, the Abhidhamma was for the high-level beings, yeah? He didn't teach it to humans. Because only, you know, only devas have the attention span, have the sati to see these things happening. Yeah? That's why he taught them to the devas. He didn't teach it to the human beings. But the human beings, yeah, like to grab hold on because they're thinking all their life. Yeah? Yeah? I want to go and take an Abhidhamma. I've seen it so often, yeah. I mean, now I'm teaching for how many years? 20 years or something like that, yeah. And it's always the people, you know, who are only thinking. Practicing is not about thinking. Practicing is about observing. You understand that? But thinking is easier because we have learned it for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, yeah? And that's what we do, that's what we constantly do. And we try to interfere through our thinking. But it's not the same as seeing. Yeah? I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say? Open your eyes and see for yourself. He didn't say, open your mind and think for yourself. Did he say that? Open your eyes and see for yourself. And that is nothing else than observing. Sorry. Sometimes you have to be hard, you know, until the nut is cracked, yeah. So any other question? Lee? No? Okay, then we close, yeah? Are there questions from the monks? Probably not. So strive, you know, take the opportunity. I mean, this is, I mean, really, there are not so many monasteries, even here in Thailand, yeah, who really, you know, emphasize practice. Who give you the whole, you know, the whole time, except for the morning meal and the afternoon sweep and in the morning, you know, the cleaning the sala, time for practice. Huh? It's very difficult to find, yeah? And it's also difficult to find monasteries, you know, I mean, that give you the university style, that you can practice whenever you feel like practicing. You can practice through the night and sleep during the day, or you can sleep, you can sleep during the night and practice during the day, because there is no common chanting or common sitting and so on, yeah? That's what makes it for some people, it is more difficult, yeah? But it is university style, yeah, practice, yeah? Just like Lungta Mahabodh, it's the same as in Bangkok, yeah? Just like Lungta Mahabodh said, yeah? I mean, this is the forest university, yeah? If you want to walk for 12 hours, then walk, yeah? There's nobody hindering you. If you want to sit for 12 hours, then sit, yeah? If you walk for 3 hours, that's fine. Walk for 3 hours and sit for 3 hours, yeah? Or walk for 1 hour or 2 hours and sit for 2 hours, yeah? It is up to you, yeah? There's no common sitting and there's no common chanting except with one occasion here when the monks chant the Patimokkha. Then they have to be together, yeah? And he said, you know, for us, university have 4 degrees, yeah? Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anaka, yeah? And Arahan, yeah? But it's tough. I mean, it's the first year at our university, I mean, we were disoriented a little bit, huh? You remember, huh? Can I go? Do I have to go? Do I have to read this book? Yeah? Until we get used to the freestyle, yeah? I don't know if it is anymore like this, yeah? I have no idea, you know, but it used to be like this, you know? I mean, in the 70s, 80s, yeah? But you're probably much younger, yeah? It wasn't regulated, that's why I loved, you know, university so much. Yeah? I could talk classes, you know, that had nothing to do with my degree. I was just sitting in, you know, listening. Huh? Went to psychology classes, even Afro-American studies, yeah, because I was interested, yeah. Huh? Had nothing to do with my degree. Or art classes, yeah, creating something with your hands, yeah. That was the freedom, you know, at the university, yeah? You could do, you know, whatever you felt like, and you profited from it, yeah? Not like people, you know, who just, you know, this I have to do, this book I have to read, you know, and outside of this I don't see anything, yeah? These are called nerds, yeah? And we have too many of these nerds around here. Yeah? Not here, I'm not talking about the monastery, I'm talking about the world. But if you are a nerd within your practice, I don't mind, yeah? If you only see your practice, you know, and don't see anything else, that is good, yeah? Yeah? If you want to be a nerd, you know, be a nerd in your practice. Okay? With this I end the talk, yeah? Yeah? Oh, you're still here. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Yeah, it's a very good session to me. So that's all
here. Okay, so go and practice, yeah? Not sleeping.
Oh, I'm so tired. Let's go. Yeah. Huh? Let the Kilesa sleep and practice walk. Yeah?